We're so blessed here in the Archdiocese of Portland that we have wonderful seminarians that are coming through the programs every single year. And we have been talking about the upcoming diaconal ordinations that will be happening. Well, those ordinations, they're going to also happen next year. And one of the seminarians, God willing, who will be ordained a deacon in the year 2026 is Andy Sanchez. He is in Theology 3 and joining us this morning to tell us more about his vocation and really kind of introduce him to us. Good morning, Andy. Thanks for being with us.
No, good morning to you. And thank you so much for having me on here. This is really exciting, actually. I've never done anything related to radio, so this is definitely new for me, but I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's good to have you. Andy, up until 7 years ago when I joined Mater Dei Radio, I had never been on the radio either. And I remember after those first interviews, I thought, this is the most fun I have ever had. Life's a journey. And it took me a very long time to find that thing that God had waiting for me. You, at a relatively young age, you were open to the voice of God, and it led you to the seminary. I'd love to know, though, about growing up, about the role that your family and your parents had in forming you in the life of the church that eventually led you to the priesthood.
Yes. So, gosh, thinking back on it now, I was probably 8 years old, roughly, when I first felt that first initial call, that first initial draw towards a vocation to the priesthood. It was around the time of my first communion. And I remember as a boy going to Mass every single Sunday with my family. So I was raised Catholic. My parents were Catholic and they brought the family up in the faith. But whenever we went to Mass, I remember as a boy, I never really understood too much what was happening. I knew that there was a lot of standing up, a lot of sitting down. And then for a game changer, all right, a lot of kneeling down.
Right.
And so growing up as a little boy, I didn't understand too much about what was happening at the Mass until around the time of my first communion. When I was undergoing sacramental preparation with my childhood parish down in Santa Ana, California, the catechist just guided us into understanding what was happening at the Mass, what the Mass was, the beauty and the rich mystery of Jesus coming to us in the Mass.
Mm.
And so shortly after my first communion, I started to pay a little more attention, and I had noticed that there was someone up there at the altar. You know, it was the first time I really paid attention to the person of the priest, and I kept asking myself over and over, well, wait a minute, how come he's up there and I'm down here? Like, what is it? So I think it was really the mystery of the priest, the mystery of who the priest was, what he was doing, and what was it about him that made him as a priest. And I had the chance to meet one of the priests after Mass one day, and there was just something in me that was telling me this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just drawn towards it. And just as I grew up and got older, my vocation grew more and more with me. And my parents, God bless both of them, they thought it was a post-first communion kind of phase.
Okay.
Like, oh, he just made his first communion. He's really into church. And, you know, so he'll probably grow out of it. And he'll think of something else or pursue something else. But as I got older, I became more adamant with both of my parents and told them, no, this is something that I'm convinced that God is calling me to do, that he's calling me to discern. And as I got older and became more serious about it, the more both of my parents started to realize that maybe the Lord is doing something in my life, and they've been supportive of me every step of the way.
If you are just tuning in, Andy Sanchez joining us today. He is a seminarian with the Archdiocese of Portland, joining us today to talk a bit about what brought him this far from Southern California all the way up into the Pacific Northwest and finally into seminary. Andy, you are one of seven children in your family.
Correct.
Now, when you were growing up with all of them, were they kind of, did they peg you to be the priest in the family, or you're going to be the favorite because you are the priest, or there's no way you're going to make it? You need to join the military like us, or find others, some other vocation in life.
You know, that's a great question. So I come from a family of seven children, like you had just mentioned. But I also came from a military family.
Right.
My father served in the Marine Corps. My older sister and her husband, in fact, that's where they both met. And so so my older sister served in the military, and my three younger brothers also became Marines as well. So I would, every now and again, my dad would try to plant the idea of, well, you could always become a military chaplain, and mm-hmm. you know, you could serve the Lord, serve the country, and serve the men and women in the military in that way. But I think I fully support our men and women in uniform, our men and women who are willing to give their lives and in service to our country. But I think the military life, and that the military is as much a vocation as any of the others.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, I just didn't necessarily feel called to military life. But I think among my siblings, as I got older and the faith started becoming more and more personal and meaningful, like for me and in my own personal life, I think the more they started viewing it as, okay, he's the Jesus one. He's the one who's close to Jesus for us. And but I've never encountered anything other than support and encouragement from all of my brothers and sisters back at home. And yeah, and they're definitely excited for me and to see what the Lord has in store for me.
So from your years then growing up, and then it was time to make that decision, mm-hmm. that I am going to pursue this. God is calling me to a vocation, mm-hmm. but you're in Southern California. Mm-hmm. So how did it begin there? And then eventually now continuing through the Archdiocese of Portland.
Right. So when I started taking the first serious steps of discerning my vocation, I was initially drawn to religious life. There was just something about religious communities and religious life that just inspired me and moved me. But I think what ultimately won me over for diocesan priesthood was the late pastor, of my home parish, San Secondo de Asti, down in Southern California. Father Lewis Marks was his name. And he wasn't only my pastor, he was also my spiritual director for a little over 10 years. So if there was a priest who knew me, it was Father Marks, mm-hmm. all the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. And I think it was really his priestly example, but more importantly, it was the way in which he genuinely and authentically loved his vocation.
Yeah.
He loved being a priest, from getting up early in the morning, opening up the church at 5:45 every morning and going right into the confessional at 6 a.m. to hear confessions, celebrate Mass, hear more confessions, and just the way he poured himself out in that fatherly love, that priestly love for everybody. And I remember one of the last things that he said to me before the Lord called him home was, you know, my dear heart. That's what he called everybody. He called everybody like his dear heart. And he told me like, well, you know, my dear heart, we definitely need you. Yeah. And I think he meant it more in the sense of parish life, parish priesthood, diocesan priesthood. And I think he was the one that really set me on that road to really give diocesan priesthood and diocesan seminary serious discernment.
And you did good discernment. And good discernment, well, brought you to the seminary and then eventually to the Archdiocese of Portland. And I want to know how that happened. But Andy, I'm already up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue in our next half hour?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. And I'm back with Andy Sanchez. He's joining us today to share his vocation story and a life from Southern California and now into the Seminary of the Archdiocese of Portland. Andy, it's been a wonderful time talking with you, and thank you so much for staying with me.
Oh, absolutely. It's been such a joy for me to just be able to share my own story and my own journey with you and with all of your listeners over the radio.
What is so fun sharing journeys is that when we look back at where we started and how far we came, we weren't expecting any of the turns or the off-ramps or on-ramps that God had prepared, but he knew it all along, and every step of the way was part of the journey, something that we had to learn in order to get to where we are. Mm-hmm. And in your case, you're now theology 3 in seminary with the Archdiocese of Portland. So as we ended in our first half hour, your parish priest was the one that said diocesan priesthood is where you needed to be. And it was through discernment that you realized that it was through the Archdiocese of Portland that you were going to be able to fulfill your diocesan priesthood or your vocation. So tell us kind of how you got to this point now.
Yeah, so I began my seminary formation back with Southern California, and you know, and just part of the discernment process, you know, you go and I think this is probably one of the things that might help listeners kind of shed light a little bit on just the discernment process, is that I've encountered many people when myself or other men enter the seminary. I think many think that entering the seminary is you're automatically set on the road and it's the priesthood, kind of do or die. There's nothing outside of that. But in reality, and I use that beautiful way of describing seminary from Pope Benedict XVI, that seminary is not only a place, but it's also a time. It's a time in which a man opens himself up not only to the formation process that's involved in seminary life, but also to listen to the voice of Christ, the eternal high priest, to listen to his voice into whatever it is that he's calling a man to do with his life. So there are some men who enter seminary and they go all the way and, you know, and they're eventually ordained priests for their various dioceses and parishes. But then there are some men who eventually reach a stage where they don't feel called and they discern on from seminary and they become strong, devout husbands and fathers. And in a sense, exemplifying like a priestly heart, if you will, within the home, within the family, and very often can inspire vocations amongst their children. But I think for me, what ultimately drew me up here to the Archdiocese of Portland, one was a certain freedom within the formation process to bring all the good that was in me, to bring all of my quirks, all of my imperfections, basically all that I am and all that I have within the formation process, and allow the Lord to work on me through those who are responsible for my formation. And I definitely felt at the time and continue to feel today that, you know, that the Lord has definitely been able to do that through the Archdiocese of Portland.
Andy Sanchez joining us this morning, telling us about his vocation and what is inspiring him to pursue the priesthood and then eventually serve all of us here in the Archdiocese of Portland. So you do have skills, and it's interesting because I love having conversations with religious too, because they enter the convent, and the thing that I'm always amazed that young people should realize is that we are all given talents, things that we love, hobbies that we do, and ways that we kind of use those skills and glorify God. You were given a skill of artwork. And God doesn't ask us to set those things aside for this thing. It's, again, those things that we learn that we bring with us all along the way. You're an artist. And you've done a little bit of training in that as well.
Yes, I did. So prior to seminary, I went to college and I studied graphic design with the Art Institute of California. And you know, and I'm still blown away with the fact that the Lord still wants to use those artistic skills like in my own life. And, you know, and going to like a secular school where you study graphic design or any other kind of discipline like that is, you know, very secular. But for me, I was just never drawn to using it for, you know, for very secular like purposes. I was like, no, I want my art to mean something. I wanted to build people up, especially build people up spiritually, to present something of the mystery and the beauty of who God is, really, you know, who God is, who the saints are, who these men and women in the life of the church and in this life of faith, you know, who they are, and how we can just like follow their example in living out our faith in the everyday and in the here and now. And yeah, and so I focus primarily on digital illustration. In fact, I have my own brand of my work, Seraphic Catholic Designs, for anybody who is interested. I have an Instagram page where little by little, I'm starting to post more and more projects as we, as I continue to, you know, honing these skills and continue to produce more art pieces. But yes, and I've definitely enjoyed using my graphic design skills for the good of the Archdiocese, and currently with my summer assignment with the Office of Vocations.
We are excited here at Mater Dei Radio to be a part of a very special project with Father Peter Julian, mm-hmm. the director of the Office of Vocations, and we're getting ready to launch a new video podcast series. And you play a very central role in that you created the logo mm-hmm. that people are going to see. So when Father Peter came to you and said, I mean, this is my idea, what was the process for you then to bring all of those ideas into a special design?
So I feel like I have to say this because, and I say this with all humor, but I also say this with as much filial love to Father Peter, who's been one of many spiritual fathers here in the Archdiocese. But whenever he approaches me and tells me, Andy, I have an idea, at this point, I sometimes get a little nervous, or I feel a little kink in my stomach every now and again, because he is definitely an idea man. He has brilliant ideas. He knows the idea and the concept that he wants to go to. But I think that I've just played just a very privileged role in bringing his ideas to life, you know, and bringing them visually to life. And so for his logo, for his podcast called Engaged by the Spirit, he had asked me to incorporate almost something like a seal, you know, to kind of hint to, you know, being sealed by the Spirit, being sealed by the gift of the Spirit. And we hear this in the words of the sacrament of confirmation, you know, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then he also wanted something that could maybe emulate like a military patch that one would find, or a challenge coin that, you know, that people receive from individuals like in the military. And so he wanted something that was both spiritual, but also reflected something of his own vocation within a vocation as a military chaplain, serving as a chaplain for our men and women in uniform. And so my design, very simple with the image of the dove, of the very traditional representation of the Holy Spirit in the design, seven tongues of fire, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and just incorporating it with, you know, the colors of red, white, and blue, you know, speaking to that American spirit, speaking to that very deep patriotic spirit as well.
So when you finally showed him kind of the mock-up of what you were thinking, did he go, that's it, I love it? Or did he go, okay, here's what we're going to change about it?
A bit of both.
Okay.
So he definitely said, oh my gosh, Andy, you are a talented man, my friend. I have one suggestion, or I have one or two ideas of how we could move this here or move that there, a tweak here and a tweak there. But it was, at that point, it was just fine tuning.
Yeah.
Just putting some smaller details into place, arranging a few things a little differently, but I think we got pretty close the first time around, and I couldn't be happier with the final result.
Well, we just love the way that it is incorporated now into the video series, and we'll be excited to be able to launch that very, very soon as post-production adjustments are being made and different things are getting in preparation for that, so people will be able to see that beautiful logo very, very soon. Andy, it's been such a wonderful conversation. I appreciate your time so much. For our listeners, just very quickly then, God willing, when is that time for you? When you'll have your transitional diaconate ordination.
So God willing, and I also need to emphasize Archbishop willing.
There you go.
Based on the information that I've been given on my current trajectory, if everything goes well, we're looking at September of 2026, almost like a Kickstarter to my final semester of formal studies with Mount Angel Seminary.
Oh, well, wonderful. What an exciting time and what a wonderful summer you have as an intern with the Office of Vocations in the Archdiocese office. So we thank you. Thank you so much for your time today. We'll continue to pray for you and your vocation as you enter into this year before your ordination. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. And everybody, rest assured of my prayers for all of you, and pray for me and for all of the seminarians of the Archdiocese of Portland.
We will certainly do that. Thank you again.
Thank you.